Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Maybe I shouldn't say that, but I wonder if you're like me and sometimes feel that people don't really do things that really make you want to love them. I don't know if that's just me. Or at times, they certainly don't make it easy. Sometimes people have real disputes with their neighbours, where their cars get parked, loud music playing, antisocial behaviour, dogs barking. I mean, I'm sure there's a guy walks a dog and just waits till he gets to the end of my path. Don't know who it is, but you know you're out there. Well, I taught in school for a number of years, and pupils, they can push buttons and really push some boundaries. Do you know, I was teaching in a class. We used to have a class, and it'd be set like this. We'd have a smart board in the center, and there'd be two cupboards either side. If you're a teacher, you'll know the makeup of a classroom. And I started my lesson, and I was teaching smaller classes at the time, maybe up to 10 pupils. And I was teaching my lesson, and I was a good 15 minutes in, and the other pupils started laughing, and then I could hear something rustling in the cupboard behind me. One of the pupils had gone into the cupboard before I got into the class and was sitting in the cupboard and had managed to last 15 minutes of me teaching the lesson before he finally thought it's time to come out. I used to take pupils away doing outdoor stuff, and I can remember kayaking and somebody deliberately capsizing my boat. It was definitely deliberate. At times where I was standing with a pupil squaring up to me thinking he's going to punch me in the face. And I thought, if he does, I'm going to take him down. I'm serious. If he had swung and hit me, I was taking him down. I can explain why. Some people just sometimes make it difficult to love them. And these are just some ideas to get us thinking this morning, but there are many areas in life where relationships break down. They break down to the point that people hate each other, genuinely hate one another. In families, things are said that are hurtful, cause relationships to break down. Again, in the line of work that I had, there's many families. Members being abused by other people in the family, physically, sexually, emotionally, or there's things that people do or they say that offend or upset or anger other family members. Sometimes it could be someone in the family dating someone and the family don't like the person. They don't give any approval because of what they've said or something that they've done. And I couldn't believe, actually, some of the stories I would hear doing that guidance role in school where people would talk about others and their family the way that they did. Just a bitterness, an anger, frustration, resentment towards other family members. See, relationships break down, friendships break down. People can be friends for years until that one moment. Something happens and the relationship goes from one that's based on love and trust and being there for one another to developing feelings of hatred towards each other. Or maybe it's a work colleague or a business partner. How do you love someone that makes your life a living hell every single day you go into your workplace? How do you love someone who was your business partner, but they done you over, they took your money, they did things behind your back, they spoke about you to paint them in a better light? How do you love that kind of person? See, all of these situations present us with opportunities to get mad, to allow hatred, resentment, bitterness, or just to build up within us. or they present us with an opportunity to demonstrate the love of Jesus. Loving radically like Jesus will give you the power to extend grace to others. We're now well into a series called Ignited, A Journey with the Holy Spirit. I believe this is part number 7. And our focus has been on discovering who the Holy Spirit is, how he works in our lives, and the power he gives us to live out our faith. In this series, we've explored his presence, his purpose, and how we can walk in step with him daily. As we seek him, we'll experience his power in fresh ways to step into the life that God has called us to live, ignited by his Spirit. And today I want to unpack the Spirit's love, how the Holy Spirit transforms us to love as Jesus loved. A moment ago I said that loving radically like Jesus will give you the power to extend grace to others. But how do you do that? Why should we love our enemies? How do you love the unlovable? As I just said there, we were away. We were in Spain last week celebrating Eleanor's birthday. And if you've ever flown at all, everybody knows that safety instruction, either a video or when the flight attendants will stand and they'll do the whole, the exits are here, and they'll do the whole life vest thing. But then they get to the oxygen mask. If there's reduced cabin pressure, then the oxygen mask will fall from the ceiling. And not everybody watches these safety videos. You see people reading, you see people like completely oblivious to what's going on. And I'm watching thinking, if anything happens, you're not going to have a clue what you're meant to be doing. I want to listen to this. I want to see what I need to do if I need to do it. Hoping that nothing happens, obviously. But I just want to be prepared. But they always say, if the oxygen mask falls from the top of the cabin, the roof of the plane, put your own oxygen mask on first, then start helping other people. See, that's what it's like with the Holy Spirit and loving others. Without the Holy Spirit filling us first, we can't love others as Jesus did. We need to breathe in God's love before we can share it with the world. See, loving others like Jesus did is also like, oh, it's a bit like running. I guess it's the difference between a marathon and a sprint. And I only started running or taking running seriously probably back in 2012 or something like that. And I have to be honest, I really wasn't very good at all. See, it was to do with my pace and breathing. And I can remember, I used to listen to The Killers, Mr. Brightside. That is a fast song if you're trying to keep up with that when you're running. By the time I was 2 minutes in, I was done. Because I'd been going far too fast, I wasn't breathing correctly, and I was trying to keep up with something that was far too fast. I foolishly back then agreed to go for a run with my dad. And if you've spoken to him at all, he may have mentioned that he was a runner. But I thought to myself, I'll be able to show the old guy how it's done. We'll get this. It'll be fine. After a short time, I realized that I was completely out of my depth. I was trying to keep up with someone that had told me a few times that he posted a 3:16 marathon, and here I was, absolutely hanging. In fact, there was one run on the Western Road in Shieldtail. He said to me, I'm just going to run on. I'll wait at the shop, and I'll see you when you get there. See, I've since learned that distance running is about pace, stamina, and endurance. It's much more than just a short burst of effort. That's okay for some races, but to go the distance, you need correct pacing and the mindset that will help you endure. Loving people radically like Jesus is also like that. Loving people radically isn't just a short-term burst of effort. It's a lifelong calling. The Holy Spirit gives us endurance to love even when it's hard to do so. I have a few scriptures that I want to hang what I'm going to share with you this morning upon, and they're just going to share that just now. Romans 5:5, God's love has been poured out into the hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Luke 6, 27 and 28 says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. Galatians 5, 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. So first thing to think about this morning is this, the Holy Spirit fills us with God's radical love. Read it there in Romans 5, 5. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. See, we have to remember that human love has its limits, but the Holy Spirit fills us with a supernatural love that mirrors Jesus. See, in the world, the love we experience would be transactional. I will love you if you will love me back. Love will be given if a person feels like the love will be reciprocated or they will receive something in return. The difference, though, is that God's love is transformational. He loved us while we were still sinners. Romans 5 and 8, one commentator says, remarkable, the demonstration of God's own love for us. In dying for us while we were still sinners, it's remarkable. Very occasionally, someone will give his life for a good man, but Christ gave his life for us while we were hopeless and weak, rebel sinners. So when we accept Christ as our Lord and our Savior, the transformation takes place. The Holy Spirit doesn't just teach us about love. He pours God's own love into us. Because God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. See, this verse in Romans 5:5 reveals the abundant and the overflowing nature of God's love. It's not distant or reserved, but personally and powerfully poured into the lives of believers. See, through the Holy Spirit, God's love moves from being merely known to being deeply experienced. The Spirit makes this love real, assuring, transforming, and sustaining us from within. See, this is a fulfillment of God's promise. His steadfast love, fully revealed in Christ, would dwell in us by his Spirit. A good example of this would be to think about Paul or Saul. Once a persecutor, transformed by the Holy Spirit into someone who loved and laid down his life for the church. See, that's the power of Spirit-filled love. And I want to suggest this morning that that kind of love, you can't manufacture this type of love on your own. Only the Spirit of God can change your heart. Only the Spirit of God can soften the hard places and teach you to love like Jesus. Second thing for this morning is this, that Jesus' love was radical. And we are called to the same. In Luke 6, 27 and 28, we read, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. That's not a particularly easy scripture to read. I shared a few weeks ago that I'm using a daily devotion from NFL coach Tony Dungy. And he agrees about what I just said about that Luke 6, 27 verse. This is what he says about that. Come on, seriously. If Jesus told me I could choose which of his teachings I didn't have to follow, this one would easily make the list. If you're honest with yourself, you would feel the same way. It's one thing to love my friends, that's reasonable. But to love my enemies, to pray for my enemies. Truth is, how many of us have problems loving people who love us all the time? We hold grudges against them, fail to forgive them, get angry and refuse to pray for them. So if we can't even love those who love us, do good to those who do good to us, or pray for those who pray for us, how in the world are we going to love, do good to, or pray for those who don't do any of those things? He continues and he finishes with this. Christ is exposing the root of our problem, our self-centeredness. The reason we are unable to extend any of these loving gestures to others without his help is because we are the centers of our own universes. For many of us, it's all about us. Yet Christ reminds us over and over that life is about God, about others, and about loving the world with and for him. That's why he hung on the cross. For you and me and all those enemies of ours. Thank goodness he wasn't self-centered. No, thank God. See, Jesus' radical love turned the world upside down. Jesus loved his enemies. On the cross, he prayed for his executioners. Luke 23:34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Jesus loved the outcasts. See, Jesus treats people differently to how society would expect or suggest. Jesus consistently demonstrated God's love to the outcast, to the marginalized, and the rejected. Some of the scriptures I'm going to share just now just shows great examples and highlight his heart for the outcast and the marginalized. Jesus meets the woman at the well, John 4:7. A Samaritan woman came to draw water and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." See, the Jews would have avoided Samaritans. Men rarely spoke publicly with women like this, yet Jesus offers her living water and he reveals himself as the Messiah. Or we could look at the leper in Mark 1:40. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. "I am willing," he told him, "be made clean." Lepers were outcasts, untouchable by religious law. Jesus not only healed him, but touched him, restoring dignity as well as his health. When the list goes on, we could look at the woman caught in adultery. "Neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." The religious leaders wanted to stone her. Jesus offered mercy, forgiveness, and a new start without condemnation. Think about Zacchaeus, the tax collector, a sinner in most people's eyes. What does Jesus do? Jesus invites himself to go round to his house for tea. That leads to the repentance and restoration of Zacchaeus. Final one, we could look at the bleeding woman, Mark 5. "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." See, her condition made her ceremonially unclean for 12 years, but Jesus stops, speaks tenderly, and restores this woman publicly. Last thing I would say about Jesus, or the demonstration of Jesus being radical in the way that he loved the world, he loved sacrificially. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for one's friends." So I'd like to ask a question today. If we loved like Jesus, what would it look like? I want to suggest we would forgive people who have deeply hurt us. We would love people who oppose us. We would serve without seeking recognition. We would love even when it costs us everything. How? How do we do it? This is impossible in human strength. See, the flesh will resist radical love. Talking about the flesh, when you're driving, there's a lot of drivers that don't know the rules of the road. Does anybody know the lights at Ladies Mill in the town? If you're coming from Victoria Road, there's always somebody who'll come round on the red. Somebody did it the other day, and I'm usually ready with the accelerator. I know they're going to try it. I'm ready. And as I drove on a green light, someone kept coming right round in front of me. And he had the audacity to smile and pull a big face because he knew I was ready and he knew that he was in the wrong, and he smiled as if I was in the wrong. And what are you going to do about it anyway? See, the flesh immediately just responds. It just happens. We need the Spirit within us to rein that in. We need the Spirit within us to see that in a different light. I'll tell you one thing. When we thought we were moving to Houston in Texas, and we were there for a month in 2016, and I drove for a month, I realized when I came home, I can't respond to anything out there. Bless everybody. I don't care if you cut me up. I don't care if you're coming in front of me. I don't care. I don't care. Because if I do anything out there, you're just going to shoot me. I'm serious. I was practicing here for when I got over there. But that's the natural reaction. Natural reactions to respond. Not always positively, but to respond. How is it possible? Well, it's not possible in human strength. It's not possible. Only the Holy Spirit can empower this kind of radical love. A question to ask yourself today would be this: am I loving with human love or Spirit-empowered love? Final thought for this morning is this: that the Holy Spirit transforms us to love like Jesus. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. See, love is not just a feeling, it's a supernatural fruit of a transformed life. The Holy Spirit doesn't just help us to love, he makes radical love our new nature. See, in Romans 8:11, we read that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And if we really take that to heart and we believe that, that enables us, the Spirit gives us the power to forgive the unforgivable. We get the power from the Spirit to be able to do that. Think about Stephen, who prayed for his killers. Acts 7:54-60, an amazing passage of Scripture that demonstrates the Holy Spirit enabling someone to forgive the unforgivable. I'm not going to read the 50 verses of what Stephen said in his speech at the Sanhedrin, but it would be an understatement to say that the religious leaders were unimpressed by what he said in those 50 verses. I want to pick it up from verse 54 of Acts 7. It says this: when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears, yelling at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he'd said this, he fell asleep. Only the Holy Spirit working through a transformed life with someone at the point of death, been dragged out of the city for sharing with people what you believe in, the God that you believe, the message of the God that you believe, and being dragged out the city and stoned. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that someone could stand and ask God to forgive them. You can't do that on your own. You can't do that on your own strength. We need the Holy Spirit to transform our lives to enable us to do that. The Spirit also gives us power to love without fear. Why? Because perfect love casts out fear. The Holy Spirit also helps us to lay down our pride, to love even when it costs us something. Just think of Peter before the Holy Spirit. He denied Jesus out of fear. After Pentecost, he was bold in love, preaching and even dying for Christ. See, the Holy Spirit will be able to transform people who can be cowardly into courageous lovers of people. See, the Holy Spirit is the love of God living within us, securing us in God's acceptance, driving out fear and enabling us to live boldly, even when it's risky or it's hard. We love without fear because we're loved without limits. Perhaps today you need to ask the Holy Spirit to change your heart. See, radical love is not just for the super Christian, the people that are more spiritual than me. It's for everyone who is filled with the Spirit. See, we need to be walking in the Spirit's love daily, living the radical love of Jesus. I said earlier, this is not just a one-time event. It's a daily surrender to the Holy Spirit. Three things that might be helpful to walk in the Spirit's love. First thing would be this: we need to surrender daily. We need to begin each day by asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, fill me with your love today. We need to stay connected to the vine. Love flows from abiding in Christ. John 15:5. You can't give what you don't have. We need to stay connected to Jesus. And we need to be willing to step out in faith. See, when you choose to love, even when it's hard, the Spirit will provide the power. So what if the church today truly loved like Jesus? What if the Holy Spirit so transformed us that we forgave freely, we served sacrificially, we loved those that the world rejects? See, that kind of love will change lives. It will change families, communities. That kind of love can even change a nation. I wonder, just as I've been speaking today, if you've thought about relationships that you have, relationships in your life that might be broken. Do you need the Holy Spirit to fill your heart with God's love? Is there someone difficult to love that you need the Spirit's help with? Maybe you want to be able to love like Jesus loved. Radically, sacrificially, and powerfully. We need to keep these things in mind. We're not called to love like Jesus in our own strength. I've already said that would be impossible. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can love with the very same radical love that Jesus demonstrated. I want to share a story just to close this morning. I've often read things and I've quoted things at times from Corrie Ten Boom. And there's a powerful story from Corrie Ten Boom. You may have heard it before, but it just demonstrates so clearly what it is that I'm talking about today. See, there's a story of Corrie Ten Boom, a Christian who survived a Nazi concentration camp during World War II. Family had hidden Jews from the Nazis, but they were caught, and Corrie and her sister were sent to Ravensbrück concentration camp. Her sister Betsy died there due to the horrible conditions. But years later, after the war, Corrie was speaking at a church about God's forgiveness. When a man approached her, to her shock, she recognized him. He had been one of the cruelest guards at the concentration camp where Betsy had died. He now stood before her saying, "I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things that I did, but I wanted to ask you, will you forgive me?" And at that, he extended his hand to her. That moment, her human heart froze. She remembered the suffering, the humiliation, and the loss of her sister. Everything in her wanted to turn away, to refuse. But she also knew that Jesus had commanded radical love, even towards enemies. So she silently prayed for the Holy Spirit's help. And in that moment, she later wrote, "I felt something like a current pass through me, from my shoulder down my arm into my hand. And in that instant, my heart was flooded with the love of Jesus. I took his hand and said, 'Brother, with all my heart, I forgive you.'" See, that's a demonstration of radical love. A love that forgives the unforgivable. A love that chooses mercy over resentment. And a love that is only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. Just ask the band to come back now, please. A final challenge for us this morning is to think about this in light of our own lives. Is there someone that you need to forgive? Is there a relationship where the Spirit is calling you to love beyond your limits? Is there a place in your life where only the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit can help you love like Jesus? I want to suggest today that it would be a good thing to ask for the Holy Spirit's power to break into those situations. His love is already in you. I wonder today, will you let him transform you into someone who loves as radically as Jesus loved? I wonder if we could just take a moment to respond to what I've shared this morning. I think one of the key things here...
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.